and Krina and Kirsten get to work, we're talking about bringing your big bad executive self, talking about executive presence in the workplace.
It's going to be fun, I promise.
No, it's always fun.
This is going to be fun. Welcome to Krina and Kirsten Get to Work. I'm Kirsten Barron.
And I'm Krina Hoyer.
And we are delighted that you have joined us today. We're going to be talking about executive presence, all in service of bringing women at work more ease, meaning, and joy. Go, sister. Go, sister. We want some of that stuff. We're here on the traditional lands of the Coast Salish people. Grateful for it. And grateful to be here with you, friend, talking about... Well, as you know, I had a little reluctance on this one.
Yeah, you're not super excited about
it. I am now. You've gotten me excited.
I love it because you push back so much on stuff.
And then I get all into it.
And then you're like all into it. And that's what makes it great because you really do force me to think a little bit deeper, not only about the things I say when you're always going, well, did you really mean that? I think, what was it just today? I think... Would you say rebellion is different than control? We had that conversation.
Right, we had a 10-minute conversation about the difference between control and rebellion.
But also some of the subjects that I want to talk about. You're like, sell me on it, which I think I did.
You did sell me. This one really, when we started, felt really white man-y. Mm-hmm. It felt like a white man thing, executive presence.
Yeah.
It also made me blanch because I was like, we want more authenticity. We want to be who we are. Why are we trying to be somebody else?
Right.
And so once I kind of reconciled all those things, then it got really interesting actually and fun.
Yeah, I think so. As with all things with me.
Totally.
It takes a while for you to warm up to it.
And I'm like, okay, this is fun.
Okay, it's interesting and fun.
It's interesting. And I think you said, it's like lawyers do bring skepticism.
Yes.
We come in, like that is the thing that we bring to everything is skepticism.
Why isn't this going to work? How's it going to work? What is this? What's the risk? What's the this? I love it. But before we talk about executive presence, or maybe as we're talking about executive presence, I do want to say you and I were just part of a meeting that was so cool.
So cool.
Many other women were invited to a lunch with our mayor, who is also a woman. And we all sat around the boardroom and talked about a serious issue that we're dealing with here in our community and many other communities are dealing with. That is the health and vibrancy of their downtown, post-pandemic, during a fentanyl crisis. And it was all women, all of us.
When I walked into that room, I just really felt like bathed in this amazing energy. Mm-hmm. Like I that never happens to me that I'm in a, I've been in a room with two or three men all the time, but never kind of like a business meeting.
Right.
Because it was all about business.
It was all about business. It was a serious
business
topic.
Owners in the room, how this is affecting business people, and obviously the issue with our government and how it's responding. But gosh, I was like, that happened on a Friday and I like floated through the rest of that day.
Yeah. It was very unique. Mm-hmm. It was unique in that way, not just because it was all women, but how it felt, how the conversation was, even the food that was served, smaller sandwiches and salads. We were all chilly too. That was so funny. The temperature of the room was set, and this is a whole gender thing too. I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of these big office buildings are set for men who are frequently warmer. The table itself was
higher. It's a very old table.
It was a very old school sort of like man setting, absent any men.
Yeah. High table and cold. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like filled with all of this female energy and badassery.
Deliciousness.
It was so great.
It was really great.
And a lot of executive presence.
Oh my gosh. No kidding.
Yeah.
It was really full of a room of folks who have a tremendous amount of executive presence.
And that's when you were balking at this and saying, I don't want to, you will talk about it. But you're like, my problem with this is when you say executive presence, it makes me think of the traditional kind of button down white guy in charge. Mm-hmm. And the reason executive presence is an issue, or why I wanted to talk about it, is because to me, it is the executive presence kind of encapsulates all of the traits that make a leader stand out.
Yes, and let me do the and here. Another reason I balked at it, as I said in the very beginning, is I really want people to show up as their authentic self.
Right.
So when you're telling people how to act, I feel like we're telling people not to be their authentic self.
Right.
And as I worked through like the study that the research on that, that one study that compared 2012 and 2022, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
When I really thought about this more, what I realized is so much of this is just bringing your best self.
Yes.
Right. And so it isn't about being somebody besides being somebody other than who you are. It's about bringing your best self and working with those traits that are the strongest within you.
Correct. And it's also being aware of what is within you, what parts of your best self to bring forward in leadership situations, mm-hmm. and not just when you're a positional leader, but when even and when you're a non-positional leader.
We talk
leader
about leadership
too.
All the time in every place, right? We're all leaders wherever we are.
We have so many people who do not have the title CEO who are making major leadership decisions and having major leadership impact mm-hmm. on organizations, businesses, workplaces, et cetera.
So, and I also think when I was thinking about this initially, there was this little bit of like, there was kind of a disconnect. Like, I want this not to be true. Mm-hmm. I want people just to show up as who they are, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to have people strive towards this executive presence. But then I realized that when you are in a leadership position, mm-hmm. your team needs something.
Yeah.
And this is all about responding to the needs of the team. So even though this is about, it is about bringing your best self, but it's also about service.
Yeah.
When you're in service to a team, right? As a leader, that's what I believe that is, service to a team.
Yeah.
What is required?
Sure.
What does the team need?
Yeah.
And these are things the team needs.
Right. And when you're in service of yourself and you want to get that promotion, mm-hmm. have your voice heard, have your
make
a difference, mm-hmm. have your opinion considered, there are some keys to that, to opening those doors. And Sylvia Ann Hewlett, who's an economist and CEO of a consulting business called Hewlett Consulting Partners, Sylvia has been doing some studies, and I think that's what you just referenced a minute ago, mm-hmm. to really try to articulate what do we mean by executive presence and what are the traits associated with those. And I want to talk about each of those, and I know you do too, but I also want to flag this. When I came across this New York Times article that mm-hmm. detailed all of this, that I believe she wrote or co-wrote.
Which is what sparked our interest in this topic generally.
I found I was looking for resources to be able to give to some clients of mine, some of whom are leaders, but some of them whom are burgeoning leaders. Mm-hmm. And some of whom, if only I could help them understand sort of how you show up in the room, how you speak, how you present yourself, et cetera, and again, shine that best version of yourself, it will make the difference between what Sylvia says is the difference between merit and success, right?
She would say there are lots of people who they merit the success. They merit the promotion or they merit the position. They have the capability, whatever. But getting from that to actually getting the position, I have the skills, talents, blah, 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 getting to the position, that success.
Yeah.
You need the executive presence piece
to get there,
to finish your equation to equal success.
That's the roadmap. Your voice, you may have the greatest idea in the mm-hmm. world, but if it's not heard or then it's not going to be realized. Again, yeah. Difference between merit and success. So I understand that you didn't like this, and I really do appreciate that you sort of did the long walk from, Karina, this chaps my hide.
It does chap. It did chap my hide. I was super chapped. Chafed, maybe.
To, huh, I can see a value of this. Do you want to talk about Susan's survey a bit?
So the thing that Susan identifies three different parts of executive presence: gravitas, communication, and appearance.
Yeah.
And within each of those categories of traits, there are things like, for example, in confidence, in gravitas, she says there's confidence, there's decisiveness, there's integrity, emotional intelligence, vision, respect for others. Okay, so those are the kind of gravitas. Like the, I think of it as your, those to me are the kind of more traditional, like I think of those as the traditional leadership roles.
Yeah, she calls those traits. So she puts the traits into three different buckets.
And that's the first bucket.
Yeah.
Second bucket is communication. And that's about how you speak to people, how you command a room. Do you listen to learn? Are you forceful in your communication? And then, of course, there's the appearance traits.
Sure.
Those are, what do I look like? My physical attractiveness. How tall am I? Am I youthful and vigorous, or am I weak and whatever? Right. So those are the three buckets. And the thing that I liked so much about, and this is why I also kind of got on side with this topic, yeah, is what was happening in 2012 when she first did this study, and what was happening in 2022 when she did it again, are markedly different. Meaning our view of what executive presence is has changed.
Yeah.
And that is a glorious, glorious thing.
Yes. In fact, she says this old ideal, and this is a quote of hers, the old ideal shaped and embodied by white male CEOs who ruled the US and Europe, She says the old ideal shaped and embodied by white male CEOs who ruled the US and European corporate worlds through the beginning of the century has long been eroding. And her evidence is that she polled all these different executives, you know, 10 years apart, and had them rank what the most important leadership traits were in each of these categories. And like you said, those are markedly different. Most notably, I think, is that in the gravitas section, mm-hmm, in 2012, most notably in the difference between 2012 and 2022 is that now in 2022, two traits have emerged in the top six that didn't even register in 2012.
Yeah.
For gravitas. And those are inclusiveness and respect for others.
Which is a marvelous shift.
Exactly.
And I think what she would say, and there's another great quote from her when she talks about that women and people of color no longer have to fit into a mold not fashioned by them. They must still cultivate a confident, decisive, polished, commanding persona without running afoul of social norms that punish them for overstepping. But I think those two additions to that list that weren't there before,
yeah,
it's a direct reflection of that.
Exactly. And in gravitas,
which is freaking good news.
It's really good news.
We don't get good news very often.
No, it is really good news. I agree with you that executives and business leaders are now it's not the people of the workforce saying, hey, you guys, we now value this stuff. It's like the people who are being polled are leaders themselves, and they're saying, yep, inclusiveness and respect for others are important. Also making the top six list in gravitas traits for 2022, man, that was hard.
You can do it.
I felt like I was coming to a sports commentator there.
So many twos.
Are confidence and decisiveness number one and two, and those did not change from 2012. And I get that. In fact, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but confidence and decisiveness really do. That screams gravitas, which, you know, I love that word, and mm-hmm, I know you do too.
I love that word.
The other two were vision and integrity, which were also in the running in 2012, but they changed position. So it's interesting, again, gravitas, we're bringing a lot of confidence and decisiveness, but we're also bringing some respect and some
inclusiveness.
Inclusivity, which, mm-hmm, yes, thank you very much. Communication, the other one, the second of the three buckets. What did you find that was interesting about this one?
what I found interesting about the communication piece is that in 2012 and in 2022, your superior speaking skills is number one.
Yeah.
Which makes sense to me. That's the fundamentals of communication. Like, how are you able to communicate with the people that you're working with? Okay. Number one, both years. Command of a room. Mm-hmm. Number two, both years. But they added command Zoom.
Yeah.
Command interesting. Zoom. Just yeah. interesting. Yep. Three in 2012 was forcefulness.
Yes.
Right? Forcefulness.
Yes.
Which I get that. That's kind of a 2012 thing. That's how forceful yeah. people were, right? And that changed in 2022 to listen, to learn, orientation.
Yes.
And the ability to read an audience, also important, similarly in 2012 and 2022. And in 2012, joking and like banter, like, yeah. you know, snappy talk was one of the important traits for communication for leaders. Like, you're supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
Not so for 2022, no. which I find very interesting. But we've got the addition of authenticity.
Yeah. So again,
which wasn't important in 2012.
No. So
authenticity was not important to people in 2012. It's important in 2022. Exactly.
So back to that. Yeah. Okay, executive presence means being inclusive and respectful and authentic in your mm-hmm. communication, in addition to some of these other traditional mm-hmm. things. That's progress.
It's and a lot of progress in 10 years.
And that's that room full of women.
Yeah, that's the room full
that
of women.
That is the room full of women.
Delicious.
Who, that when I think about executive presence, that's the picture I'm painting right now. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, I think you're right. I think it's reflected in these things.
Yeah. I think the third bucket, appearance traits, which was admittedly the least important, but still something to be aware of, also had some changes. Polished look ranked number one both years. I think, you know, if you're going to be an executive, you really do want to think about what you are projecting. And we certainly, I've heard you say, like, don't make your presentation, your physical presentation, distracting.
Yes.
And I think this polished look is the opposite of that, of distracting yes. by your look. But again, in appearance traits, number two, something that never made the list 10 years ago was authenticity. There Which it is again.
It made it into your personal appearance.
Into appearance.
As it's not just your communication style. It's also in your personal appearance.
Right.
Fascinating.
So if you can be authentic, both in appearance and in communication, you're embodying this mm-hmm. executive presence. Other things that were important this year were fitness and dressing in the new normal style of dress, which I thought was interesting. And also really curating your online image, which I balk at.
I totally balk at that.
And your willingness to show up in person.
Which I absolutely think that's absolutely, yeah. I watch it every day. The ability to show up in person. While it seems to be important to command a Zoom room, it's also important to show up in person.
Yes. And I will say a couple of things that fell off of the list that were important in 2012 were youthness and vigor. Youthfulness and vigor. Youthness. Mm-hmm. Youthness. That's my new one.
Some youthiness.
Youthness. Tallness, which I'm kind of sad about, because that was like the one thing I had going for me.
You were killing tallness. I was doing well on tallness.
We're nailing
too.
Tallness. We're killing it. Give me some heels and I'm just like right up there. I can see over everyone's head. And slimness. But thank goodness those fell off. We lost tallness and slimness.
And youthfulness.
And youthfulness. And we picked up authenticity. I'll mm-hmm. take it.
And a willingness to show up in person.
Yes, yes, yes. So these,
fitness is still important.
Fitness is important.
Fitness is still important.
Yeah.
Because I think when you take care of yourself, that is, and you're trying to take care of other people and you're trying to have the energy to do good work, right? Mm-hmm. And to lead people, like, being physically fit makes it's, you're authentic. You're like, it's all the way through the same person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I get you. I hear you. So the good news, according to those who study this, is that these are not things that you're just inherently born with. And in fact, that we can all develop executive presence traits. And learn to bring our authentic selves forward and capitalize on the strengths that we have. In fact, you can take a freaking class pretty much at any business school.
This was the craziest thing. And when I was doing the research on this, like Harvard, Columbia, Wharton, like everybody and their sister has an online or in-person executive presence class. It's like, I just had no idea.
And it's not a 2-hour.
No.
No, no, no. It's the whole quarter.
It's the whole quarter. It's a 12-hour course, whatever. I mean, it's a crazy thing, the number of classes on executive presence.
Well, I feel like in some ways I coach people for this. That's what, like I said,
for sure.
I was so excited to find this article because I was like, here it is. Here's a little bit of a roadmap that I can hand people, because we want to believe. I remember early in my leadership days, I was so proud of the fact that I could get somebody on the phone and have the, and sort of command the conversation mm-hmm. and get lots of respect from them verbally, like, you know, in a phone call, and they would meet me and realize how young I was. And like I would wear pigtail, like I really leaned into this for a while, and I'm realizing that didn't really serve me in the long run. I wish that someone had said to me, "That's great. We want you to be authentic in this situation. If you're going to meet this funder or this donor in person, and they're going to write a $10,000 check, let's think a little bit more about kind of what image you want to present." Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the kind of
showing up in your running gear or your yoga gear.
Yeah.
Communicates that that's where your mind is.
Yeah.
Right. But if you show up professionally, that communicates that, hey, my mind is on your money.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So let's talk about, you want to talk about a couple of these traits though? Cause I think you and I honestly could talk about this for a long time. Cause it just, to me, I'm such a shitty trainer. I told you this on the phone.
Oh, that is not true.
No, I don't. Sometimes I don't know how to help some. I'm good at training people, but I don't know how to help people do something I do inherently.
Absolutely. It's very, very, this whole thing is very natural for you. 100% natural.
And
for
I think
you.
It's natural for you, I'm going to guess.
I don't think it was initially. I do not think it was initially. And I also think, too, don't forget, like a lawyer, I'm in a service industry. Mm. So I am when I was going to law school, they referred to us as handmaidens.
Oh, dear.
I know, right? So, and I also worked for people for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that at the same time, though, people need to trust their lawyer, have confidence in their lawyer,
yeah.
and know that I can go against somebody else and get what they need done. Right. Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's where I developed these skills was in having more and more, getting out from under another lawyer who I was just doing work on my own.
Yeah.
So I do think these same traits helped me just in my work, not in necessary leadership.
Yeah.
But just in my work.
Sure. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And did you feel like you had to develop them?
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them, yeah. And some of them I know that I've had. And it's just stinking nice to see that they now matter.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Like inclusiveness.
Like inclusiveness, or we'll talk a little bit more about this, but curiosity.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about gravitas for a second. There were just a couple traits, one in particular that really did strike me, and that was this confidence and decisiveness both. Mm-hmm. I just like that. I feel like half the time, and I've said this before multiple times, in fact, somebody just needs to make a decision and I'm happy to do it. It may not be the right one. It probably isn't. But when we need to make a decision, I'll take that. I just easily take that role. And I do it with confidence. Just as a side note, because I got a million of them today. I remember meeting somebody and my sister's neighbor, in fact. And she just moved to the neighborhood. And she had all of these plums all over her yard from a plum tree. And I said, she wanted to dehydrate them. I said, just throw them in the oven for 250 degrees for a couple of hours. You don't need a dehydrator. You can just do it in your oven. I'd never done it before. I'm just popping off. She ended up taking my recipe for gospel and ruining all of her plums. And my sister was like, but that was Karina. She was just popping off. But I had said it with such decisiveness and confidence that she just walked away and just ended up doing it. Now, I know that's a ridiculous story, but that's the kind of
It just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh.
That's the kind of shit, right? That's what we're talking about. Being clear and concise and projecting confidence and this action-oriented.
And I think the thing that I like so much about that story, actually, what's really deep in that story is like the willingness to suggest a path forward.
Yeah.
The willingness to take a risk.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, hopefully that's informed. Maybe you would have done a little Googling about how do you like dehydrate plums in your oven. Maybe so. But the point is, though, actually suggesting a course forward.
Yeah.
I think we should do this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And that is a big part of executive presence, is being willing to make a stinking decision.
Willing and coming forward with confidence. Mm-hmm. No mealy mouth, no whatever. Let's just like get her done. There was also some great advice, and this is a little bit more about how you present your idea with confidence and decisiveness. But man, structuring your communication so that your recommendation or bottom line comes first. Here's what I think. And then adding analysis or adding reasons mm-hmm. why mm-hmm. after, if you need to sell somebody, was some great advice that I also read on this. It's like, yeah, because again, gravitas is confidence, decisiveness.
When I have started doing this, when I'm recommending a path forward to a client, because most of the time they make the decision, not me, but I'd have to figure out what I think is the best path forward and recommend it. I write my email and I take out all of the I thinks.
I did that recently too.
I'm like, why am I saying I think? Like, of course I think. Like, an I think kind of makes it sound like, well, this is what I think. Like, it's just me. Right?
Right.
And I'm like, no, this is really...
Right.
I need to get more behind my own recommendation.
You know, I started taking out the you might consider or perhaps and just cutting right to the chase. Same thing. That's that kind of decisiveness in communication. You also, but you and inclusiveness is also part of gravitas, and you really do embody this so much. I feel like when you walk into a room, when you are in a meeting, when you're even at that mayor's meeting, you know, there's some people kind of muddling through, in fact, and asking some hard questions, and you know, you stopped and you didn't just offer your response. You kind of helped pull the room mm-hmm. and
bring in the opinion of somebody else
yes.
and what I was saying to
yes.
elevate that opinion
yes.
that might not get elevated. I hear what you're saying. That's very nice. I didn't notice that. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Cheers.
Yeah. And I think Susan also says to be inclusive, you have to hire people with diverse backgrounds and give them all a fair shot at climbing the ladder and helping elevate their voices, etc. And recognizing that every single person in the team needs to feel elevated, important, and included.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you did in that communication. But also that diverse perspectives are valued. And I learned this lesson a lot. People teach me this a lot, that my perspective is not the only one.
Mm-hmm. Which we want.
But I have to have constant reminders of it.
But that is the point, right? Like, even though you might say this is the course forward, this is what we should do, to create an environment where people say, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Or what about this? Or did you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, like, that comment about surrounding yourself with diversity is, it cannot be overstated, mm-hmm. the importance of that.
Yeah.
Because you just don't get other views, perspectives, and feedback without that.
And so you also have to create conditions where those diverse perspectives are elevated
mm-hmm.
or able to be elevated, which is also one of the traits, right? Respect for others.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than treating people with dignity. It's also really consulting experts, digging down, elevating voices, etc. And to me, again, back to that original hide chafing.
It was more than a chap, it was a chafe. It was chafety.
To me, this really screams a lot of different kinds of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't necessarily just scream.
And here's
white
the
man.
Thing too, this respect for others, like when you're like, we talked about being like the ability to be decisive, right?
Yeah.
But what's fascinating about that is in being decisive, did you first respect others, right? Like before you can be decisive, did you get input? Did you respect others? Did you do your research? Did you do your diligence? Did you get all the information?
Right, exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's all part of gravitas. I love it. Do you want to talk about communication a little bit?
Yes. And I think what we love is the fact that this listen to learn came in as the one of the most important traits on communication in 2022.
Oh my God.
Right?
It came in listen third
to learn
and didn't even register in 2012, mm-hmm. which is all about curiosity, the superpower, mm-hmm. right? And it, listen to learn is different than listen to talk.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we all know people who listen to talk.
This to me is like this, there are lots of things we could talk about in this communication aspect of executive presence, but it feels to me like that curiosity, this listen to learn kind of concept, really is the intersection of so many things, right? Like if you can do that, one, you show respect and inclusiveness to others, because you want what they have to, you want to know what they have to say. Two, it communicates confidence because you're not afraid to ask questions.
Sure.
Right? You don't feel like you have to know everything. And so I think that also communicates confidence. Mm-hmm. And I think like being curious, every time I'm curious, I end up with more information than I would have had I not been. Mm-hmm. And there are times when I want to say something like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like I look at a decision that something somebody has said that I feel like they haven't really thought through. And instead of passing judgment on what they've said or what they want to do, if I can get curious, mm-hmm. then they don't get defensive.
Right.
And we can come around often to something better. Or sometimes it's like, oh, I'm an idiot. I didn't see that.
Yeah, right.
Like there's a lot of times when I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't check. I didn't see that at all. I didn't get that at all. So it's super helpful.
It's curiosity is one of those superpowers or this listening to understand that, like you said, it endears people to you. It provides you with better information. You signal or you're living that inclusiveness and respect for others that is also so important to gravitas. And it makes you better at what you're doing because you got diverse perspectives. Mm-hmm. You know, Barry asked me, because he stepped into a leadership position recently, and he asked me, what's the number one mistake you made as a new leader? And I said, I made decisions too quickly. That was my number one mistake. I didn't consult. I didn't listen. I wasn't curious.
And
I
would
say
that it's interesting. I think that I can absolutely see that, because that's kind of one of also another of your superpowers is your decisiveness. But I feel like the criticism I hear most in my work about leaders is their lack of decisiveness.
Oh, yeah. I can
see that. I'm curious if you hear that in your work, like the lack of decisiveness. What's our path forward? What are we doing? Yeah. How do we do this? Who knows what's going on?
I hear lack of clarity a lot more than anything. And a lack of curiosity. And I think that's what I'm saying. I would make decisions too quickly without being curious, without trying to understand, mm-hmm. without seeking others' perspectives, you know, without respecting others, et cetera. But yeah, I think it's...
And you cannot live in that curiosity.
Like no,
there is a point where you need to move into decisiveness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. But there is...
And that's what we mean by this. When you started, you said, these are things we can learn how to do and do better.
Yes.
And that's a great example. Like you've learned to slow down.
Yeah.
To be more inclusive, to be more curious in how you make your decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, and I learned that lesson the hard way. About 100 hard ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The last one is appearance. I know I touched on this a little bit. Again, it's least important in the executive presence bucket.
I mean that so deeply.
But, you know, authenticity in how you dress is important. It's funny. She says that Susan said executives are expected to reveal who they fundamentally are, not mimic some dated ideal model. And I think that means, you know, I think that means show us your character, show us your heritage, show us your values. It's so bizarre. You know, we did that episode on what you wear.
On how to get dressed for success.
I think it was like what to wear. I think it was called what to wear.
Something like that. Yeah.
But you know, really thinking about, for me, I never really thought about how my clothes really signal my values and who I am. But boy, do they ever. In fact, I just had an hour-long conversation with a friend today who's seeking a job. And we were talking about clothing, and I have this whole bent about like natural fibers and buying stuff used. Mm-hmm. And it all signals who I am and and what I value. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
And I think, as you said in the beginning, when I was in law school and there were fewer women that were lawyers, mm-hmm. I think that we were supposed to dress like men.
Yeah.
Right? Just men with a skirt. And just take the pants, take the legs out, and cut them off about halfway. That was it. We're done. Right?
Yeah.
And it was all about being distracting. And I kept that a long time. But what I realized is, like, I say so much about how I want to live in the world by how I dress, right? I feel like I wear really comfortable clothes. I want things to be simple but pretty, you know, that they're attractive. And I remember I was at a soccer game once, and I only wore like a 2-inch heel, right?
Yeah.
I've only worn like a 2-inch heel. I'm not a big heel person, but I would always wear like a 2-inch heel and like a pump, right? I was at a soccer game. And what do you call that when you aerate the grass?
Aerating the grass.
So I was like aerating the grass, like with my heels, you know? I was like, geez, Louise. Anyway, somebody said to me, Kirsten, why do you wear those pointy shoes? And I was like, well, because I charge $300 an hour. Nobody wants somebody running in that conference room in their Keds.
Yeah.
Charging $300 an hour, whatever it was at the time, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so I do think there is like this consistency between I'm ready to like go into a courtroom. Not that I do, but I'm ready to do that.
Right.
And I'm ready to be in a business meeting. I'm just ready for what's up.
Yeah.
And so I think it's about dressing appropriate to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right. For the work ahead of you.
Yeah. And the job that you want. The job you're doing and the job that you want.
And the job that you want.
Yeah. Barry just, again, he got promoted to a supervisory role. And I'm like, honey, now it's time to get the, like, you're not wearing your work boots anymore.
Tell you that you couldn't wear things when you first started your consulting business?
No, that was my friend Nicole.
Nicole told you couldn't wear them.
Yeah, I was wearing some funky hippie stuff. And she's like,
what are you doing?
She's like, you're a consultant now. You cannot wear those palazzo pants, I think is what it was.
Oh, I think a palazzo pants always appropriate.
But now
I beg to differ.
Maybe it was something else, but I just, and
just
I was
saying,
like,
I love a palazzo pants.
But I think that's true in a way that they're, I don't, and I don't want my physical appearance to be something somebody judges me on, and yet tending to that and recognizing that it is part of you that you are putting forward mm-hmm. before anything else, and what you want to project is in some ways within your control, and being authentic and dressing for this new normal that they're saying, right? Recognizing who you are and how you want to present is part of executive presence. That's part of sort of like cracking the code.
And what's interesting about this to me is we don't have to have all of these things.
No, correct.
That's what's so great about what this research says. It's like, you don't have to have nailed everything.
Yeah.
My thought is, okay, let's take the things that we feel most comfortable with and capitalize on those. And recognize where we're strong, figure out if there's things we want to improve.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do everything.
Right. Correct. Because it is a little bit daunting. Kennedy, this woman, rising star in the insurance agent, AIG, and I cannot pronounce her last name. Kennedy. It's
Ahergi?
Ahezi, I think. She had a great quote, and I just want to read it. She said, the new rules of executive presence are both daunting and exhilarating. To show confidence and decisiveness, but also inclusiveness and respect, to balance powerful speaking and commanding presence with listening and learning, and to project both polish and authenticity is a heavy lift, but leaders who manage it can inspire their employees to greater achievements and help their organizations truly flourish. And leadership is hard, no matter positional or non-positional leader. Leadership is hard. Putting yourself forward as someone who is stewarding and supporting and serving others is hard shit.
Mm-hmm.
And executive presence is hard, and it's work. But again, it's the difference between merit and success is people who put, who tend to these things. That's a code I want all women to crack.
Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of room in here to crack it.
There's plenty of
and
room.
And the good news is that there's even more room. 10 years ago, there was less room. There's more room to really be successful in this area for women.
Yes.
If you don't want to curate your online presence, you don't have to.
Because I don't.
We do not.
I don't care about that.
I certainly don't. So the point is, like, find the things that are really, that feel good to you and that resonate with you. The ones that you wish you can improve, try and improve those. Like, I'm always working on my inclusiveness. Always.
Yeah.
Because that, I think, is my... Well, even though you say that's a thing, that, which I'm glad that you see me do it, it's a thing that I feel is like that's the most important part to me right now is I want to be as inclusive as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So hone it. Hone these skills. Because I
hone it and own it.
I want your I want everyone's bright light to shine. Like, yeah. I want your light to shine bright. I want to hear your opinions. I want your ideas to be valued. We need those your voice in the room. Mm-hmm. And this is part of being heard.
Okay. It's part of being heard. Yeah. And I'm in it. I've owned it.
I've brought you along.
I'm all the way there.
Okay. That's great. Okay.
Thanks for listening, listeners.
Thank you. Bye. Karina and Kirsten Get to Work is recorded and produced by yours truly, Karina Hoyer.
And Kirsten Barron.
Find all of our episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, on our website, or email us at yougettowork@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.